There's 10,000 questions on this topic. We're going to deal with a few of them today, but we're amassing data and answers as we go along. So if you have questions, write them down here, and if we don't get to them today, we will post them in an FAQ, and you will be emailed a link, and that FAQ will continue to build, because this is going to... You're not going to be an expert when you leave this morning. I'm sorry. It's bigger than that. There are entire segments of this question, one of which is gaming, which we cannot get to really today. That will be a session probably in and of itself. So write down your questions as we go through the morning. And I don't think we're going to have time at the end to field them, but we will answer them and we will post them on the parentingpathway.org, and we will address your questions like that. I want to talk about the human stuff of this issue, and Mark will talk about the actual buttons to push, windows to get into, and I think he even has how to make the cell phone shock the child when they go somewhere. I'm not certain, but I've heard that that's a possibility. On the outline that starts out, Pathway to Technological Maturity, I want to start out philosophically. Our goal is not to have everything so buttoned down that our kids can't do stuff that's bad. That's not the goal, because they're smarter than we are. They are devoting their lives to punching through everything that we put in place. If they want to find junk, they will find it unless we duct tape them to a pole somewhere. And probably the pole has Wi-Fi, so we're still not getting anywhere. So the goal here is to raise up a kid who will be self-motivated and capable to protect himself from preventable harm while he pursues becoming more like Christ. The goal is not to bar them from something that they think is good, because we can't. We're not that good. And it's changing all the time. Our goal is to get our kids to understand the dangers that are out there, and when they bump into it, they will instinctively back away, because this threatens everything they want for themselves and their future. Because you're not going to be there one day. You're not there now. I mean, I went to church as a kid. I got into plenty of trouble in church, and there'll be a session about that sometime in the future. But we want to have kids who are self-regulating, self-protecting, and never without accountability. That's the goal, okay? So we're not trying to keep them, and this kind of language is important. We don't want to keep them from something that they think is good, because that's confusing to them. If they think it's good and we're keeping it from it, they're going to get there. And just as in way of describing our acts of defense, certainly, and we're going to talk about these today, filters, lockdown procedures. If you have kids with technology at home and you have none of this stuff, what are you thinking? If you got sharp knives on the counter and your toddler reaches up, what do you think's going to happen? We have to be smart. We have kids who are not yet capable of moderating themselves. They're not afraid of stuff that should terrify them yet. So we have to do some stuff for them up front. So when you hand your kid a phone, and it's a smartphone, it's the whole world, and they know it. I mean, you can't count on your kids' ignorance for long, because this is what they talk about at school all the time. So you have to put some stuff in place. If you're not, you're leaving sharp knives on the counter, and bad stuff is absolutely going to happen. And I was about to say, I don't mean to alarm you up front, but of course I do. That's what I'm here for. They're going to get this stuff anyway. They're going to see stuff, absolutely. They're going to be, there's going to be 100% exposure to pornography. 100%. If they don't want to, there will be 100% exposure. The kid next to them during English class will say, "Dude, check this out." And he's been exposed. So, just so that we are all on the same planet, our goal is more than barring them from stuff. Obviously, the earliest stages, there's more control, and we'll talk about this as we move. It's going to change. It has to change. You're not feeding your 18-year-old at the breakfast table, hopefully. Stuff is going to change, and it would be good for them to know that it's going to change. If they do their part, stuff is going to change. If they fail, stuff is going to change dramatically. My kids got, feels like back in the Civil War days, but when my two older kids got their phones, it was the flip phone, and you could text, but it was 111 to get a seat. And, it took 17 minutes to say, "I'm coming." And that was the extent. And then I upgraded, and I gave my kid my old cell phone. And I think Gracie even, I think they both had smartphones. And I found out how I could get on and limit and cage some stuff in. But they had already had 6 months of unfettered use. Now, I don't think they were on gambling websites. I don't think they were committing crimes. But I had now to take something away that they already had, and it was a whooping. It was bad for everybody involved. So much better to have the phone in your hand, in the box, have that whole new phone smell to it still, and say, "Now, before I give this to you, we need to talk about some stuff." They'll agree to anything at this point. They will come up with stuff that you would never impose on them, and they'll do it happily before they get it. If they've had it and you need to reel it in, and some of you will need to reel it in, just be, body armor is probably required. Because they may not understand, and you're the parent, they don't have to understand. So, best to do it up front. On the offense, this is painfully obvious, but that doesn't mean it doesn't need to be stated out loud. They're watching how you use technology. And that's what they expect is normal. How you use it is how they're going to use it. If you're on it all the time, guess what? If you're respectful with human beings and digital stuff is secondary, that's going to be totally normal for them. So do not think you can impose stuff on them that has no application to you whatsoever, and you will have a harmonious home. It will be like gravity. They will go to, actually, and they'll try to go past it, the way you use technology. So your modeling is absolutely key, and it actually kind of sets the baseline for everything. I spend a lot of time with guys who are up to their armpits in pornography and drugs and alcohol and all that stuff. The pornography guys, far and away, most of them got launched because they found their dad's stuff. Now, in the day, it was Playboys or whatever. Today, it's video files. Your kids are technologically more advanced than you will ever be. You can't hide stuff. I mean, you can't hide stuff in your house from your kids. I mean, I always knew where the Christmas presents were hidden. They know all the stuff. They know where your files are. They're going to bring up your history. They're going to do stuff you don't even know exists. And when a boy finds his dad's porn stash, there's about 3,700 things that go off, and none of them are good. So just to be clear, whatever you do, your kids are going to assume that's what people do. Secondly, you need to monitor your kids digitally. To just jump ahead, and I just want you the letter on your page 3 there, I put the link down below because I wanted to give her credit. This is very clever and thoughtful, and the copy that you have on paper, I edited out a few clever curse words. So, but I did want to give the link. It is here intact, minus a few adverbs. But the important points here is that son, daughter, this is my phone. I'm the dad. This is my device. I pay for it. It's mine. And I'm going to let you borrow it. If you borrow it respectfully, we will text and call and tweet, and we will have a great time. When there's a violation, it's not your phone. It never was your phone. And I'm going to keep it now. And again, if you start out like that, perfectly acceptable. If your kid has his own room and his own stuff and you're not allowed in there and he freaks out if you have that kind of thing, the phone's going to be a nightmare. So be the parent. This is my phone, son, and I want you to use it well, and if you are harming yourself or others with it, it's not your phone. And I'm taking it away, and we will figure out what you need to do to get it back, because I want you to have it. This is a useful tool, an important tool, but it's mine. That's totally okay for a mom or dad to say. All of this stuff is easier when you start young. But any site, any social network that they are a part of, you have the passwords to. When they're really young, you could even have them on your account so that when they receive stuff, it pops up on your phone too, which is brilliant because they're going to get alarming stuff, I guarantee it. And it would be great for it to pop up on your phone. Now, as they get older, there's other reasons why they might need to have their own account. But then you need to go check their account. You need to have passwords to everything. There is no privacy. If you're going into the sixth grade and you've got your phone, no expectation of privacy. This is my phone. I'm going to hear what you say to others. I'm going to read. I guarantee you, and that you have to do it, because if you never do it, then they will figure that out. I'm going to check your phone at night. I'm going to read your emails. I'm going to look at your texts. And so when they're talking to their friends, they're going to say, don't send that to me. My house will burst into flames. And it's the beginning of self-regulating. Now, if you say something and you never follow through, they will figure this out in about 30 days. And then one day you will check, and there'll be a whole pile of stuff that you need to deal with. So you get to check all the sites that your kids are on. They're not allowed to join things without your approval. You should not find your kid's phone and like, what's that app? When did you put that on there? And again, the younger the better. My youngest now has her own account, but she didn't have the password to her own phone. If she wants to add an app, she has to come to me. What is this? Well, this is a Snapchat. Oh, well, that's no. And this is, My Little Pony game. Well, okay. And I take it from her, and I turn my back, and I punch in the code, and I download the thing, and I clear the code, and I give it back to her, and she has what I put on her phone. Now, that's great when they're starting out. That you got to alter that plan as you go along. But you would not throw your car keys to a third grader. You just wouldn't. With no training, with no appreciation for the dangers out there, you shouldn't be doing this digitally. It takes a village. You should have friends who stalk Facebook and have them friend your kid, because you're like, somebody wants to friend me. Yes, I don't know who they are. Yes. So your kid will befriend anybody probably who asks them, and like, I know your mom. We're friends. And she can follow you. And, they haven't done the math on this yet. I totally caught my kid because he defriended me. And I didn't know it. Well, I have a lot of people here that he still likes. And they're friends of his still. And so somebody's like, that was so funny, the thing that Josh posted. The what? So he totally got ratted out. Praise Jesus. And you want to have help, because some people are going to be all over Facebook. I go to Facebook about 4 times a year. I'm on other stuff. But there are people who are like, they're swimming in Facebook, and find those people and buy them lunch and make a pact. I will totally rat out your kid if you rat out my kid, okay? Perfect. So find people to help you out. You can't cover all this by yourself. Monitor your kids physically. Again, this is something, if you haven't started this, you may be in a cage fight to try to institute some of this. When they first get the cell phone, before they get it, okay, babe, this never goes up to your bedroom at night. The plug right there on the kitchen, that's where this goes. When you go to bed, this goes to bed too. And I'm looking at it. When you're going to bed, your phone gets plugged in the kitchen. There's nothing that you need to read or send after whatever your bedtime is. And you know, the boys, you know they have a buddy who's playing something till 2 a.m. on a school night and going to make a high score, and he wants to tell all of his friends about it at 2:30 in the morning. So phones are blinking and buzzing. Nobody needs that. So, you know, heaven help you if you've got a 14-year-old who's never had to do that before and you decide that's important for you to do. You gotta figure out your own home and how you're going to pull that off. Manners. The contract, I would encourage you to read this contract. It's really brilliant. And it sets the stage. And the expectation is, I know you're going to fail with this. I know you're going to drive too fast with the car. I know you're going to do bad stuff. And I'm going to be here to help you correct. We're not going to send you to Siberia, but we are going to jump on this right away and correct it and get it back on target. So when you fail, I'm here for you. I'm not here to destroy your life. And if you think I'm destroying your life, that's okay, because I'm the parent and you're the kid and you get to be mad at me. Humans in your presence are more important than incoming digital data, except if it's coming from mom or dad. You've all seen, the iPhone shuffle. You know, people walking into traffic and walking into poles and walking into each other. And they're having conversations with their friends. So I heard a bunch of cute stuff about your daughter up at up camp and all the sweet things. And your, I'm sorry. What was that again? There ought to be a slapping app. Humans are more important than digital data that's coming in. It would be great for your phone to buzz and you just keep talking to the human that you're talking to. This is just common human interaction. And humans come first. No phones at the dinner table. Now, all this stuff, some of this stuff I do at my house, some of it I don't. Some of it I've waited too long and I'm not sure if I can. So you have to decide all of this stuff. Don't go home and do all of this, because there will be a chalk mark around a body. So you have to figure out how you're going to do this at your home, and maybe you don't do some of this, or a bunch. You're the mom and you're the dad. No phones at family gatherings. In-person conversation is most. Phone conversation second. Text. A text is going to be there in 20 minutes. And it's, unless it says 911 on it, and if a kid, that means, I just bought something cute and I want to tell you about it. A kid 911 is not like... progression. I just want to show you this chart. And again, this is just a... All this stuff is suggestions. You have to figure out how you're going to do this at your home. Probably the important thing that I want to point out here is that under the 17-year-old, there is no privacy. There is never privacy. There shouldn't be privacy of your phone from your wife. There shouldn't be privacy from her to you. There, again, the sooner you start out, guys, there is no privacy in this home. Your bedroom is not sacred. I go in there whenever I want. I paid for all that stuff. It's my stuff. And I get to see anything in there. And, diaries perhaps. There's stuff. But You will never be so adult that you should be without accountability. If this has all gone swimmingly, the 17-year-old is looking for who he's going to have as his Covenant Eyes accountability partner when there's nobody else around. He moves to a new town, I got to find a new guy. Because that's the way I was raised, that's the way I was trained, I understand how dangerous this stuff is, I know that I'm a wretch, and left to my own devices, I will create all kinds of havoc. I'm going to find accountability for myself. That's the baseline. Not, I'm 18 now and I get to do whatever I... That's not true anywhere. You always follow laws. You're not too old to do the right thing and to not trust yourself. And that's one of those baseline things. I'm going to let Mark get up here. If you do this well, son, there will be more freedom. If you do it badly, the freedom goes away. Expect it. And I'm teaching you how to use a sharp knife. I want you to use this well. I don't want you to get harmed by it. I don't want you to harm anybody else. But I want you to have it, and I actually want you to wield it really well. So we're going to do this together, and we're going to talk about it a lot. We might even text about it. Who knows? So this is the human stuff. And if you do the technical stuff without the human stuff, you will keep a kid away from trash that he really wants for a little while. And then one day he's going to figure out how to punch through a portal or something, and he's going to swim in sewage. And that's nobody wants that. So the people stuff is really important, and I know what you came for is the technical stuff. So, Mark, come on up here and give everybody the good stuff.
Well, good morning. My name is Mark Johnson, and I work with our IT department. I've been here about 2 years at Stonebriar, my wife and my son and I, and I'm thankful to be here with you today. Basically, what I'm going to do is just go through some hardware things, looking at smartphones, tablets, desktops, and laptops, everything that our kids are using. So I'll look at some statistics real quick. We all use smart technology, smartphones, tablets. That's basically what this is saying. 90% of American adults have a cell phone, 58% have a smartphone, 32% have an e-reader, 42% have a tablet. And then kids, looking at our kids in the United States, as we all know, they're all using technology in some way. U.S. families, children age 8 and under, there's been a 5-fold increase in tablets. How many of your kids use tablets? Show of hands, pretty much everybody, yep. And then the percent of U.S. children that have access to some kind of smart mobile device at home has jumped from half to 3/4 in just the last couple of years. Looking at teens, that group, 78% of teens have a cell phone. Almost half of those have smartphones. So that's increased quite a bit. 1 in 4 teens have a tablet computer. 9 in 10 teens have a computer or have access to one at home. 7 in 10 teens with computer access at home say that the laptop or desktop they use is often shared. So as a family, we're always usually sharing at least a desktop, laptop. I know we do that in our home. So the big question is, how can we protect our families, use these devices safely and privately, securely? That's what we're going to look at here for a little bit. So the ways we can do that, most hardware that we use has some type of built-in technology, built-in settings and controls that we can use to do that. And there's also apps, you know, that we can use and software that we can use on our devices as well. So first we'll look at smartphones. I assume probably the majority of you use smartphones in here. Show of hands, everybody? Yeah. Mine's an iPhone. How many iPhone users? Yeah, a lot. So yeah, Samsung, Galaxy people? Few of those. All right. So we'll look at smartphones real quick. Fortunately, they've come a long way since this guy. I'd never seen this before. In 1946, this was mobile technology. They had it in the trunk of your car. They had technology in the trunk of your car. And then by 1973, 26 years later, we moved along. It's still large. It's huge. Yeah, this guy made the first private practical mobile phone call. So I was one then. So Apple, Samsung, those are two I mentioned, smartphones. Those statistically tend to be the most popular companies out there. Android, which is on the Samsung, you guys are probably familiar with that. That's the operating system for it. And then the iOS on the Mac, that's right now the most popular. So looking at the Apple iPhone, said we had a lot of iPhone users in here. There's, of course, several models. The one I lifted up, this is the 5. Anybody have any of the 5 in here? Yeah, and there's my wife uses the 4. And our son, he actually uses a 3. This is our son. This is my son, Sam, and my beautiful wife. I just had to get a shot of them in there. But this is Sam's iPhone. This is the one he's used since he was about 4 years old. Sam's 8 now, so he's been using this for about 4 years. He started out, we had an old iPhone, the first iPhone, the original one. We gave him that. He used that for a little bit, but it was limited with some of the apps. And Sam is autistic. He's a special needs kid, which is how we ended up here at Stonebriar, actually. They have an amazing special needs ministry, and that's how God led us here. It's another story. But this is the device, his first device that he was introduced to. And it was really great. It's another shot of him. He loved working, especially with educational apps. Being an autistic child, special needs child, there were a lot of things that even his therapist were bringing in, and they were using on their phone, which is, I don't know if any of you have people coming inside your home that may bring devices in. I'd never thought about it until we got in this scenario. So that's when we decided, well, let's put those devices on, or let's put those apps on Sam's phone and use it from there, because you have no idea what someone may be bringing into your home. More than likely it's safe, it's secure, but that's one aspect. So Sam started using apps. It was going great, going swimmingly. We've never had cell service on Sam's iPhone. It's just been limited to Wi-Fi. And again, he's 8. That's sort of up to you when you want to make that transition. My wife and I have talked about maybe when he's 12, 14, maybe gets into the teen years before we add cell service to his phone. He just uses for on the Wi-Fi. So anyway, it's going great. He loves My Little Pony. Dave mentioned that earlier. That's his favorite My Little Pony character. So he was always attempting, wanting to look at My Little Pony stuff. So we let him play it. There's, of course, like a My Little Pony app. He played that. And then some of his friends were looking at clips of talking about different pony things, so he wanted to do that. He found the way. At that time, there was a YouTube app for the iPhone that he was using. And my wife and I, being, this is our first kid, a little gullible, we did create a YouTube account for him and run it under safe mode for kids. So we thought, he's in good shape. He's safe. And we would check in on him sometimes when he's watching these videos. Here's what happened. Here's what we ended up with. Not something we wanted him to see, of course. So at that point, we realized it's probably not a good idea to just let Sam, our son, use even YouTube apps logged in under a safe account setting as a for a child. You're still going to see stuff. It's going to get through. So we need some kind of additional filter to block that. So that's when we looked into your iPhone. Your iPhone users, some of you may be familiar with this, has settings so that you can go in and you can set up restrictions. So if you go into Utilities, Settings, General tab there, you can turn a passcode on first thing. So at that time, we didn't have a passcode on. Anyone could have walked up, picked up his iPhone, and used it. So I recommend turn the passcode on. That's just for the benefit of your kids so no one else tries to use his iPhone. And then share those passcodes. In our family, the rule is everyone knows the passcode to everybody else's phone. So if I want to walk over and pick up Sam's phone, look at it, I know the passcode. At this point, he's 8 years old. He doesn't know his passcode. So if he wants to use it, he has to come to mom and dad to turn it on for him and access his iPhone. So that's really the purpose of the passcode, is just some security there. And that's the screen where you would log in. The restrictions on the iPhone, some of you, again, may be familiar with this. We'll look at them real quick. Go back into the Utilities, Settings, General, and under the Restrictions tab over there, go enable restrictions. Anybody use restrictions? Cool. We started doing this when he was 4, and he came across the bad stuff. Sam was pretty gullible. You know, he really didn't know that it was bad for him at that time. But we realized it was bad. We needed to do something. So that's why we enabled restrictions for him, started using them, and it will let you go in and choose which apps he could have access to. Basically, again, he's 8 now. We still only let him have access to his camera. That's it. If he wants to install apps, like Dave mentioned, he has to bring the phone to us, and then we log in here under restrictions, turn on installing apps, and install an app for him that he may mention. Well, my friends are playing Minecraft. My friends are playing such and such. So we'll talk about that, and if it's rated in his range, then we'll install it. So, hey.
One comment you might want to point out is the password for the restrictions is different than the password.
Great, yes, thank you. Yeah, so you got two codes, two four-digit passwords. So if you want to just get into the phone, you got one passcode for that. And then, right, like you mentioned, if you want to enable the restrictions, go in there and work with them, you have another passcode. And there's several settings here, just for the sake of time. I won't go too deep into that. But you want to dig in, choose what's right for your kid. Especially under allowed content, excuse me, you can go in, and this is a great feature for us because he'll come to us a lot of times, bring us apps that his friends are playing, but that we don't play or wouldn't let him play at that point in his age. And we'll just talk about that. But since you can set the rating down there, see where it says 9+ on the apps? And we just tell them, look, it's when you're T for teen, then you can play that app and go to that app. And surfing the web, that became more of an issue as our son got older. Of course, he's wanting to get on the web. The standard Safari browser that's in here, or if you try to go to Firefox or go to Google and search things, we created a account for him with Google, too, so he could log in. And we thought, hey, it's safe search. It says safe, so it's safe. But it's not, especially if you're trying to uphold Christian family values, teach those to your kids. They're not the same criteria that the search engines have. So I would recommend using some type of browser on, if your kid's using the internet on his iPhone, use some type of browser. This is what we use with Sam. It's called Browser for Kids, and it's locked down to just whatever URLs you put in the app. He can only go to whichever sites we talk about and put into his phone. All right, so moving to the Galaxy phone. We had a few Galaxy users in here. They have, a passcode, which would be separate, like we talked about, so that the phone would be locked. Only you or your kid could get into the phone. And they have settings for that. They're a little different. Instead of just a PIN number, you have some options. You can actually use a fingerprint. There's a pattern that you could use with that. So, but kids mode is probably what you want to use if your kid is using a Galaxy phone. It limits the functions and apps that kids can access, very similar to what iPhone does. And the steps for setting that up, again, pretty simple. Set up the PIN number that you want to use, and then go in. You can create an account for that kid. At this time, you can only create one account, so you couldn't have multiple kids' accounts on one phone. But you can go in, choose the apps that you want to have access to, and now we'll move on to tablets. iPad users? All right. Pretty much half the room. So iPads, pretty much the most popular tablet out there right now. Samsung, Samsung Tab. It's popular as well. The Android OS seems to be a little more popular, which surprised me a little bit, than the iOS right now. Looking at that. And this is Buster. Oh, that, by the way, this is Little Buster. You may have seen that on there. Sam names his devices. So this is Buster. This is Sam's iPad. It's an iPad 2. It's not the latest technology. So it's something which Sam's never pushed us on. It's like, well, Dad, I got to have the iPad Air. I got to have the iPhone 5. Again, he's 8, and he has some delays, so it's maybe not as important to him. But your kid may be saying, well, you got an iPhone 5, why can't I have an iPhone 5? Or you have the latest iPad, why can't I? And like Dave said, you just tell them, I'm the parent. And with us, we're just handing things down. So the things that we had, or maybe our relatives had, they've passed on to Sam. So this is his iPad. Again, we're Cowboy fans, by the way. You see that on there. Watched the game last night? Anyone? Yeah. Okay. We won't go there. All right, so again, you have a passcode, just like your iPhone, that you can set up so that access to the iPad is limited to users that know that. You have built-in controls that are very similar to the iPhone, and in order to go in and set those up, it's basically the same process. You go in and enable restrictions, set up a separate passcode, like we talked about, choose which apps you want your kid to have access to, and there's more settings. Again, the ratings has been big for us. That's helped out a lot, being able to limit, because by default, it's wide open. It's explicit lyrics, it's all movies go, all books, it's just too much. So you can go in and set those up. And again, I would encourage you to use some sort of safe browser. If your kid's going to be on the internet, on an iPad, use a browser of some type, because the one that comes with it is just way too open. And this is one that we just love. We tried some others. It's a buck, but it works really well. And basically the way it works, it's real simple. You set up a password so that the kid, unless they know the password, which hopefully they wouldn't find out, they can't get in and access the URLs. So you just put those in there, the ones that you want them to have access to. You can set a time limit, like with Sam. He can have 3 hours of internet access a day. That's what we do with him. Using this browser on his iPad. The Galaxy Tab, that's another tab. Anybody use a Galaxy Tab? Anybody have one? Right over there, right here. So basically it's the same setup. You can set a passcode, you can set restrictions. They do have a kids model, which is pretty cool, especially if you've got littler kids. And they come with a little padded case, sort of like Buster there. Which helps a lot. Next thing I was going to talk about are backdoors and apps. And what I mean by that is our son loves to play Minecraft. And there's a Pocket Edition that'll work on iPhone, iPad. And one thing that I've always tried to do with Sam is get involved, even though I may be a little inadequate at times, get involved and play games that he's playing, no matter what they are, even if I'm not really interested in them. But most of the time I am. Take time to do that, get in there, and so we're playing Minecraft together. He's been playing it for, I guess, about 3 or 4 years, and he plays it by himself sometimes. One thing he tried to do early on, we walked in one day, and he had been there with his aunt, and he was sitting on the couch, and he had a blanket over his head, so which was a little odd to, well, not really odd. Sam does all kinds of crazy things. But his aunt said, well, he's been great. He's been sitting on the couch playing his iPad. I'm like, okay, which caught me a little off guard. He said she thought it was funny. She's like, he's been playing with a blanket over his head. And I was like, okay. So we got to looking, and he was actually at a YouTube site again. YouTube seems to always be our nemesis. So I was like, well, I have restrictions set. YouTube app's not on here. How did he do this? So, and he finds ways to educate me all the time. So he had gone into the login section of Minecraft to access their Realm server to play like multiplayer, access some other features. And he couldn't get to Pocket Realms, but he saw the link to the blog, got to their blog, and they had YouTube videos posted on the blog. So he probably watched a few of those, but then he dug further, and he was off and running on YouTube. So again, it was ponies, and they were just doing inappropriate stuff, like we saw earlier. So he's a brony. But to Sam, it was sort of an innocent moment, but we sat him down, and we just said, you know, after his aunt left, and, you know, we sat down as a family and talked about it. You broke the rules because you're not supposed to use your iPad with a blanket over your head, which that's the first time he did it. But anyway, so I encourage you to watch out for any app. There's some innocent apps. Like, we downloaded the Lego Movie app. Same situation. There's a link to the blog, and he was watching something really violent that he found through that app. Noah's Animal Parade. I mean, come on, it's a Bible app. But again, and probably innocent on their part, or their guys just weren't thinking, you're using YouTube to host your videos. You're putting those videos into your blog. Kids can get to your blog, and they can get access to stuff that's probably inappropriate. Another one called Apple Avengers. So we try to keep a list of those, and of course we remove them from his iPad. With Minecraft, what we've had to do is, if he wants to play Minecraft, he can play it, but I just go in and install it whenever he wants to play it, and we play together. That's where we're at right now. When he gets older, a little more accountable, we give him some more freedom. Just real quick, mentioning desktops and laptops. These are a few of the popular brands. I'm sure you guys are familiar with those. Seems like Windows. Personally, at home, we have Microsoft products that we use for our desktop and our laptop. Seems to be the popular Windows users, majority of the room. I mean, we've got Mac users. Yeah, we've got a Mac too. But mainly at home, we use Windows, and we have a central computer that's in our office, which doesn't have a door on it. And it's sitting in the corner of the room so that any time if we pass by or somebody passes by while I'm on it, they can see what I'm doing, and it's out in the open, everything that I do. And then we have user profiles set up on that Windows computer. Everybody has a profile. And it's cool because Microsoft has a family safe safety filter that you can use with those profiles in conjunction to limit access to things, similar to what we saw with iPads. Theory of what the way their controls and restrictions are set up. OS X has parental controls as well. And then the main thing we use at home that's really been a plus to us is the Bluecoat K9 web browser. It's free. We put that on the desktop in the office. We have a laptop that sort of floats around too. And the Bluecoat K9 web browser has been great. You can go in and set blacklist for words that you don't want your kids to search for. You can, again, put URLs in that you want to block or allow. And it's been a big plus for us and helped us really with his web browsing. He's challenged me in that he's found ways to get around it again by going to blogs or games. There's some gaming sites out there that are great for kids, but they still have access through a back door if they search around. NetNanny and Covenant Eyes are a couple other filtering services that NetNanny I've not used personally. Covenant Eyes we use here at church. It's great. Those are both pay services and to help you keep accountable with each other. I've also got some links and we have this presentation, or what I put together today. It'll be in a PDF on the blog too, so you can grab it there. But just some links of different things. Then Sam, we have a little blog where we try to keep up with his stuff. But to answer, go back to your question that you had about gaming. With Sam, our policy is if he wants to play a game where there's other users online playing at the same time, one either me or his mom has to be in the room with him. He cannot do that alone. When we started playing multiplayer games with him, it's like Minecraft on a desktop. You can have, like Dave was saying, somebody across the world, you don't know who it is, could be targeting your kid. So, again, my advice would be just be in the room, be right there with them, right beside them, if they want to try and do that. With Minecraft, with games on your iPad, some of them are limited to your Wi-Fi connection. So, like, when we go over to my niece and nephew's house, they're on the same Wi-Fi. They can play together, so that's more controlled. You know, it's just his niece and my niece and nephew and my son playing on that network at that time. So the main thing is just in that regard, I would recommend be involved with them. Thank you guys for allowing me to come in and be with you today. Pastor Dave. Thank you, man.
This is a session. There will be more. There'll be narrower topics. We will actually do this again because there's going to be another group of parents in a year or so. So keep looking for the announcements. We have. Why don't you talk about that, Christine?
Okay. as kind of an additional resource today, we did not get to spend any time on social networking, which I know is a hotbed for a lot of people and growing. This is a great kind of entry resource on social networking, how to set rules, boundaries, monitoring for your kids. So if you want a place to start, we will have social networking and gaming in future sessions. But if you've got a problem today, this is a good resource to start with.